For three decades, Kenny Shopson was the chef proprietor of Shopson's, a Greenwich Village favorite, where he kept an amazing 900 items on his menu. That was until Kenny lost his lease and was forced to move to a new location. Among the loyal customers who couldn't bear to think of life without Shopson's is Matt Mahurin, filmmaker. He's made a documentary about Shopson's with the provocative title, I Like Killing Flies. It opens this Friday at the Cinema Village Theater, and I'm very pleased it has brought both Kenny Shopson and Matt Mahurin to my show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, nice to be here.
So, Kenny, when was Shopson's first opened? It wasn't a restaurant at the beginning, was it?
No, it was a grocery store.
And how did you wind up making it into a restaurant from a grocery store?
The landlord raised the rent, and you make more money in a restaurant than a grocery store, and I was kind of going in that direction anyway.
Now, landlords raising rent is a major part of your life story, isn't it?
It sure is.
You're facing a problem again?
I'm not facing a problem again. It's just the rhythm of the New York City rental is such that if you have a 10-year lease, at the end of 5 years, you better start to think about your next 10-year lease or think about moving, because you have a lot of money invested and you're paying a high rent. So when it's time to actually leave at the end of the lease, you have no bargaining position at all.
But you were at that location for 32 years. So
at the other place, somebody bought the building, and in my lease was a little clause that said if the building is sold, you have 90 days to exit.
Now, how did you wind up going into the restaurant business? Had you had any experience?
None.
Being a professional chef?
And I'm not yet.
But people love your food.
I mean, it's more like Grandma Moses food than it is like hot cuisine.
Do you think that's part of the appeal?
I think that the people that eat the food that I cook have a palate that's as low down the ladder as mine.
You know, we're talking about Matt here.
He's brilliant in many ways, but he has a flat palate, which makes him an ideal customer.
Is the food that bad, Matt?
No, but I've been going there for 18 years, and I probably ordered like maybe just five things. I'm a creature of habit there. So
I don't mean that it's bad food. It's really good food. It's just not highly evolved. It's pretty basic.
You're not competing with Danielle. That's okay.
Certainly
there's a place
not.
For them, and there's a place for you, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
But one of the differences is that you have fewer tables and more items on your menu.
And I cook it. And that's the real difference.
You do pretty much all the cooking.
I clean the bathrooms, too.
Yes, and you kill the flies, as the title of the film suggests.
And my daughter cooks with me, and my other daughter waitresses, and my other son does bustling and dishes and general prep.
Now, when we say there are 900 items on the menu, we're really exaggerating, aren't we? There's no menu with 900 items.
But actually, the menu has more than 900 items. And then also, everybody, it's like that Danny DeVito scene in Get Shorty. Everybody who's anybody has a special thing. And so in addition to the menu items, when he comes in, he doesn't order off the menu. He orders I'm a Star special soup that has it just the way he wants it. And then when somebody else comes in, it was
so
like,
that you say Matt's soup.
Matt's soup, that's exactly right. A lot of things in the kitchen are that way.
It's actually, you know, probably about an 8-page menu. It's just crammed full, and you can actually download a PDF of it. And Kenny designs it all the time, outputs it, prints it out on his computer, and hand puts in the new pages in on a weekly basis. And so the 900 items are always changing, so it just keeps adding up.
My daughter, who does graphics, says she's sorry she ever gave me a copy of Quark. And then her second greatest sorrow is that she taught me how to kern.
So, now, for people who don't know typography, kerning is a way of getting type to look better. You squeeze the type. Oh, but also you can squeeze the type, condense it is what you're talking.
Oh, do I ever.
You condense it so you get
my
more words.
My menu is mainly 7-point.
7-point is ultra really condensed.
Ultra condensed. It's almost like you should add water to it, like one of those toys. So you can actually read it.
Well, how do you come up with all these different dishes? Are they all just variants on the same thing, or are you reading cookbooks all the time that you're not cooking?
You know, I'm not really sure the answer, except that I did an incredibly large number of drugs when I was younger. And during that time period, I was kind of being liberated from a rather rigid upbringing, and I started just to dissemble things, everything, into little bits, and then just store them someplace, and they come back.
Came in there and I said I would really like to have some dish I once had, and you have some knowledge of that, you
I
could
do
just
that.
Conjure it up?
I do that, but not
do it to
people
order.
I don't know well. Because the other thing is that a major part of the restaurant is that there is a kind of a relationship between the customers and me and my family. And my son Zachary is always trying to screw somebody out of their Mets tickets.
Now, Matt, you said you've been going there for 16 years. Well, so that's about half the time the restaurant was at that location. Is this the sort of place that you only know about if you live in the village? How did you find out about
it? Well, you usually get brought there by somebody. Back then, there was no sign. There was no kind of advertisement. Kenny eschewed any of that kind of promotion, and I had been brought in there. But what had happened is I would be sitting in the restaurant, and there'd be maybe two or three other people in there, and Kenny literally cooks, you know, all this stuff in the space the size of a walk-in closet. And when there was a lull in the cooking, he would come out from behind this Frankenstein stove and offer up these like little morsels of like life, death, sex, politics, and sometimes he'd even talk about food. And I'd be sitting with whoever I was there, and I'd say, someday somebody's got to, you know, document this, you know, because these things, he would say these wonderful things that you'd either thought of or never really quite completed it, and I just felt like making the film was my way of... I mean, the thing about Shopton's is when you go there, not only the experience of the food, but the thing is, like, one of the first thoughts that pops in your head is, like, who can I bring here? And you basically go through your kind of mental Rolodex, and maybe you pull out one or two people that you feel you can take into this place. And you only take people in this place that you feel like you're going to be friends with for a long time, hopefully, because you can mess things up. And I just believe that what Kenny had to say kind of transcended the four walls of this little kind of bohemian enclave, and I wanted to bring other people to the restaurant, maybe not necessarily for the food, but for what was really nourishing to me, which was Kenny and the ideas and, you know, the kind of challenges that he presented in my life by the kind of long relationship. He's one of the longest relationships I've had in the city since I moved here, you know.
But the movie was fraud. Well, as I was going to move, you know, my whole family, I have five kids. And
this movie was made while you were being pressured to move.
Yes. And so I had this very, very odd feeling of archivalness. And I said, Matt, would you do me a favor and take a couple of still photographs? Because I have the feeling that once I'm out of this place, like it's like your studio here, you're here every day, every day, every day. But if you're gone for 3 months, you'll say, whoa, what is it? Where was it? Were the lights really there? And anyway, so I asked him to take a few snaps, and he walks in with the video camera. And my daughters, who are much smarter than me, said, whoa, Poppy's making a movie. I said, no, he's just taking, he says that you can get stills off of that. Well, my daughters were right. And when he really did it badly, you know, because he had no releases from anybody. Nobody signed anything, and I stuck him up for money to try and make him not do it. But he put his own money in.
But you must be happy with the result. It's better than having a couple of snapshots. The movie we're talking about is I Like Killing Flies, which opens this Friday at Cinema Village Theater, and stars Kenny Shopson, proprietor of Shopson's, the Greenwich Village restaurant. Matt Mahurin made the film, and obviously a labor of love, but also a serious documentary. Now, you mentioned, Matt, that you like to bring people there, but don't you have a rule, Kenny, that he can't, that no more than four people can come in at the same time?
Yeah, that's just because I only have like four burners in the front, and my wife used to be like, stuff the place up. I said, and she would never listen to me. I said, please, I can't do this, you know, because when you get into a place and you sit down, they take the order, you figure you're going to get fed. But she would just, so I made a rule, because we had these five guys that came in from Cornell who thought it was really funny to order as much food as they possibly could. And then I had like Chinese people coming in to pay me back for all the times I did the same thing in Chinatown, and then take the leftovers home. They ordered like 10 items, and I was like, I stopped having a good time. So I started to arbitrarily limit how much food I had to produce in a short period of time, and also just to be a prick so that people would stay away.
That gives you integrity. Well, you banish people, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. But you know,
what does it take to get banished?
Not much. Not much.
What would I have to do?
Is this girl
other than to be my usual loving self?
Coming at the wrong time. No, well, really, it's like a private club, and the only thing you need for membership is to act like a member. But there are a lot of people that come in and they just want to watch everybody else be a member. They want to. They what do they call that? Audit. They want to audit the place. They don't want to be themselves, or they want to see us be ourselves.
It's not anything you really earn. It's like you
just are.
Yeah.
It's just like it works out. But
you can't use a cell phone in the restaurant.
It's all gone now.
Well, we'll talk about what the situation is. You also
that was my
wife. Cell phones.
She felt it was rude for people to use the cell phone.
So
and I never really analyzed it. So we just.
So the film was shot when you were at the point where you were going to have to give up this restaurant.
Yes.
And the whole neighborhood
rallied around. And before
we had
a solution. No, there were a lot of people in the neighborhood across the street when I walked down the block.
Well, you probably banished them from the restaurant
at some point. No, they wouldn't come into place if I paid them. It's just, you know.
Do you understand that, Matt? I mean,
yes.
Why would some people think? Because they just didn't appreciate
the
food or they didn't like Kenny?
Well, I think that there's – like I had shown the movie to a very high-end chef, and he said, boy, he goes, I really envy Kenny. He goes, I can't afford to kick people out of my restaurant. I if somebody comes in, my prices are too high, everything works this way, that there's so many people that I would just love to, you know, tell to, you know, go you know where. And I can't do that. And Kenny has preserved his right to, control his environment as much as possible because it's his place.
There's also the Time Out New York approach. They call Kenny the foul-mouthed middle-aged chef and owner. So
64, there goes that one.
But, you know, to some degree, this reminds me of the sort of thing that you see in small towns in France or Italy. I had a friend who worked for a great chef. He called his master, and he said it was a small place, maybe 30 seats. And if somebody came in at 2 o'clock, he might say, no, we're closed. I don't feel like cooking anymore.
You got it. Yeah.
Well, Greenwich Village that's why they call it that. It still has those kind of last vestiges of a village mentality. And I think that was another one of the reasons to make the film is I spent my entire 20 years in New York living in the village. And I even in that short period of time, I've watched an incredible degeneration of as it becomes more gentrified. And so I wanted to preserve this thing. And also for myself, I felt like what Kenny had to say was something that it was also a personal challenge for me to kind of confront him, confront the filmmaking, confront the things I experienced from, you know, kind of as, you know, people have a long history there. It's not, I mean, I can remember going there. I remember his kids, their barely heads were barely above that levels of the tables. Now they're, Zach is like, you know, bigger than me. So it's been an interesting, and I think a lot of people are displaced and there's a sense of home and family there. So you get to go in and kind of be welcome there because so many people are really displaced in the city.
I understand that you're taking a month-long hiatus.
I'm not. The guy that works with me for like 25 years, Jose, is Dominican, and every once in a while, he goes to his second house, and he stays there for a month. And nobody in my place shares jobs. So what he does is...
So he takes vacation, you have to close down the place.
I have to close, it's exactly right. I would rather be working. I don't have much else in my life. Besides that.
Well, this is your social life as well as everything
else. It's everything, yeah. And so that I would much rather not close at all. But when Jose, he's going, that's it. It's over.
And what's the situation rent-wise? Are you okay, secure in this new
place? Fine. Although the place that I have now is too good a restaurant for me. That's the real problem.
Well, you don't have a stove that a refrigerator that you have to kick practically to get it going.
I can't turn out enough product to make a decent living because the rent and everything, not that it's too high for what I have, it's too high for me to do it without having a bunch of people being ersatzmes. It's me and it's my, and you know, it's like there's just so many hours that you can work.
Right. If the restaurant fills up and every seat is taken,
it's no good.
You're can't screwed. Handle it all.
I can't handle it, but it's, then all of a sudden it's like modern times, you know, I'm on the assembly line just turning the shit out, you know, it's like, whoops, sorry.
Yeah.
It's no fun, and my daughter's in there with me, and Jose's in with me, and the pressure, and then I get tired, and I'm older, and I got to go to the bathroom, and I don't get to go out, and it's people who I know and love for 30 years have to ask permission to come in the kitchen to say hello, and so the serendipitous nature of the whole thing is just wrecked, and I need the Saturday and Sundays that are like that to pay the rent.
Mm.
So here I am in this situation where I'm trapped like everybody else.
You want to tell us where the restaurant is located now?
Sure, because I'm done with all that other stuff. It's on the corner of, I always get the address wrong, Carmine and Bedford. And I decided that after years of trying to hide out, I still would like to, but it's just not working anymore. So now I decided just to put myself on a plate and eat me and digest me and get done with me. So if in 6 months they say, Leonard, do you want to have Kenny on the show? I say, Kenny, forget it. Well, been there, Kenny, done that.
Love Kenny's sausage. Is there anything you refuse to cook?
No.
Everything is okay.
Everything's okay. Although there was some person that, the difference is, because not that what I refuse to cook, but who I refuse to cook for. People that come in there and they have this need to immediately control the situation. I'm there 35 years and they tell me they want me to do this. Or they don't want butter on that. They don't want this on that. And if they're new customers, they say, you know, why don't you go someplace where they like you? So it's nothing I really refuse to cook. It's people I refuse to serve. But if somebody comes and orders a really well-done hamburger or hockey puck eggs, I have just as good a time cooking that as anything else. I have no vested interest in the savoriness of the product, only in cooking it.
You cook it the way they want it.
Yeah, I like cooking. I don't like watching them eat it so much.
Well, the film is called I Like Killing Flies. By the way, the flies don't...
I have no idea where you got that from.
Well, there are a couple of scenes where you're...
I think it's some allusion to the fact that he didn't take existentialism in college, you know. That everything is a step-by-step process, something like that.
What's existentialism, Kenny?
That's a whole other show, and we've run out of time. But my great thanks to both of you. Matt Mahurin's film is called I Like Killing Flies. It opens at the Cinema Village Theater this Friday. And it stars Kenny Shopson of Shopson's on Carmine in Bedford. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Bye.